Lord. You know, it's just so much that I want to talk about. It would take me 20 years. And in fact, part of what I'm going to talk about today, and first for all things, I just want to give God the glory.
Amen.
I just thank him for allowing me to serve him. You know, when I was a little kid, I was thinking this morning about so much. It was almost like I was getting married again. I was pacing around the house and just believing in God that, you know, he's going to lead me, because it's not about me.
Amen.
It's about being a good servant and letting him use me. And, you know, I thank God for my grandparents who then went on to be with the Lord, because I thought about who was the first person that I ever saw even pick up a Bible. And that was my grandmother, my father, who's also deceased, his mother. But, you know, the beauty of it is I realized that she planted a seed. I'm 49 now. It took a long time, but that seed, God, once he plant a seed, you can run, but you can't hide. I'm going to tell the truth today and shame the devil. I was a runner. I was a sprinter. Because, you know, in life, people, you'll go to church and people will lay hands on you and pray. And one thing my grandmother, I remember her saying is, don't let everybody lay hands on you. Everybody's hands ain't for you.
Amen.
And I didn't read the word or nothing. I just remembered that. So I went around like everybody was spooky in church. You know, why are you telling me I'm a one-day priest? Why are you telling me one day God is going to have me to bring souls to Christ? You don't know what you're talking about. You spooky. You know, and but see, we got to be real careful also and understand that Satan knows your assignment. You know, this week was interesting because I had a multitude of dreams, but they were like all a continuation of a previous dream. And it was like somebody was breaking in my house. I woke up in the middle of the night on the 13th, which was my brother's birthday. And it was about 4 o'clock a.m., and I'm like, I heard something. I'm looking for my gun, you know. I'm like, can't find it. I'm like, oh, we dead if he in here. My wife just sleeping away. I'm like, I'm the head of this house. I got to protect this house. And I went and sat at about 30 minutes. Couldn't go back to sleep. Went downstairs, came back up. And, you know, I was like, well, why am I up, Lord? I need to do something because I can't go back to sleep. When you think somebody is breaking in your house, you ain't going back to sleep. So the Lord knew how to get my attention. And I went over to my computer and just started, you know, reading scriptures and reading the word. And then about an hour into that, it was about a little after 5, all of a sudden the police was surrounded by my house. And they was arresting a kid for beating on somebody's door. I said, well, Lord, that's interesting. You got me up real early. Maybe he was knocking on my door and I didn't know it. But the Lord began to reveal some powerful things, you know, to me that morning. And the first thing that he revealed to me was that I was out of order. Oh, Lord, what I do? What I do, Lord? He said, you out of order. We ain't going to address everything right now, but we're going to start with the fundamentals. We're going to start with the foundation. You know what the Lord did? And you know, find me, Pastor. Yes, be seated. I'm sorry. Y'all ain't got to stand. I'm so sorry. But you know what? That's a beautiful thing. I'm just so excited right now. I didn't even know y'all was standing. I'm so excited what the Lord did for me and what he can do for everybody. Because I believe we all go through some very similar things. You know, I set up and I put together what God had for me to say today, and it's interesting. But I gotta get to one of the most profound things that happened to me that morning, and it was like it broke a curse instantly. And so, you know, the devil will put a curse on families and people, and they won't have a clue. You can go to church every Sunday. You can do what you think is right, and you'll be cursed and don't even know it. So I got to say this part. I'm probably going to talk about it again. I might say the same thing over and over again. But that's part of what God showed me. Because of how I came up in the church, it was sort of like I skipped some chapters. I skipped some fundamentals. Nobody pulled me aside and said, this is where you need to start first. It's almost like taking a calculus class in college but coming in midway through the semester. You're going to be lost. And as a kid, I was totally lost. It wasn't that I didn't want Jesus to be my savior. It was just that I started off so far in the middle. It was like an advanced course, and I couldn't catch up, and I didn't know how. And I didn't have nobody there to show me how. And so I lost time. And so the Lord woke me up, and he said, open this Bible up. This was profound. I mean, I opened this word up right here, this Bible. And he said, now take a good look at it. When I looked at it, I said some of the pages is wrinkled and all of that. He said, flip to the first page. I flipped to the first page. He said, read it. I'm going to read this to y'all. This Holy Bible presented to Archie Toler from Larray and Quentin on Father's Day, dated 6/21/1998. I almost flipped out of my chair. I felt like, wow, Lord, I didn't have this Bible for almost 20 years. What have I been doing with it? It's my word. It's your word. It was a gift from my son. He was 4 years old on Father's Day. I felt so belittled and condemned and all kind of emotions. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. Amen. I said, so what do I do? I'm procrastinating about this here, huh? He just showed me. He said, now open it up. Take it all the way out. He said, the zipper was broken. You need to fix that. He said, we're going to clean you up and start you all over again. I started pulling notes out of the Bible that was in there since 1998. And so, saints, that's the root of what I'm going to talk about today. I think God has given me this assignment because I think there's a lot of people out there that start up coming to church because a relative or a friend or family member asked them to. And then they come in and they can't understand where the church is at. How do I apply this to my daily walk? You know, I come to church because I want to be faithful. I want to be a servant. I really want to receive the Lord as my Savior, but I'm lost. I'm confused because my family, they've been doing this for 30 years. But I just did this for one day. You know, I want to thank this man of God right here before I move any further because I didn't even know he was a pastor. He was my friend. He was my co-worker. And I would go down to his office and we'd talk about things. And then one day he just invited me to church. I'm like, what? You a pastor? And then, you know, all of a sudden, I don't even remember what day this happened. He started calling me elder. And he'd been calling me elder ever since. Elder Archie, elder Archie. You know, that's a powerful thing when people impart that type of thing in you. I didn't know what an elder was. But I'm going to share with you today the definition of an elder.
Amen.
Because it's important that you understand your assignment for God.
Amen.
So you got to start with the basics. So I had looked up some of the things, some of the meanings to elder. One of them says, one of advanced age who had an office of leadership within the people of God. Key duties of an elder can be summarized as a twofold task of judging and discipline generally and guiding the people in an orderly way. Elders were instrumental for their preservation of life with God in the covenant community. You know what, saints? I'm so thankful that the man of God blessed me and felt enough about me to call me elder from day one. Because he had to already know that I had an assignment.
Hallelujah,
Lord. I was just, you know, being, again, faithful. This is my friend. I'm going to come to church and support him. Let me talk about this word support just a little bit since God put that in me. When I had this business over there, the number one word that African Americans would come in and say was, they get mad at something, and then they say, but we still gonna support you. And I'd be like, support? You know, I don't like that word. I want your money, number one, because I'm a business, but support is like a shallow way of saying we're going to do it just because you are African-American-owned business. So I applied that to what God says. You know, he don't need our support.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
His son, Jesus Christ, died for us. He don't need our support.
Thank you, Lord.
He need our souls.
Yes.
He need us to come to him for our salvation. He need us to honor him, to serve him. I had a conversation with God. What do you need from us? He said, I don't need your support, Mr. Tolai. I don't need you to do this for Elder Maybell because he going to be all right. I mean, Pastor Maybell, he going to be all right. I don't need you to do this for your cousins when it's Easter Sunday and they invite you. I need you to do this for you, your life, your family. Serve your God with your whole heart.
Amen.
You know, you straddle the fence. We all only human. But God dealt with me in a whole lot of ways on that, you know. He said, you're going to gain some friends. You're going to lose some friends. Because guess what? You might gain some family members, lose some family members. Because they ain't going to understand. They ain't ready. But the Lord did share with me, keep planting that seed. You ain't got to be in the world. All out in the world. You know, you still can be who you are. And that was one of the issues I had with coming all the way over in God's thing, is the fear of losing people. So I just fell for they old okie doke and kept on doing the fool for all these years. You know, the biggest thing is I was repenting this week. I was like, I lost so much time, Lord. But the Lord shared with me. He said, I'm going to give it all back to you. They were playing around. Playing around. You know, I was speaking to some friends this morning. I was just being obedient. I picked up the phone call, some guys that I knew that I grew up with, and the Lord just had them to tell me. And one of them said, well, when you was a kid, you was third grade, we called you the poor righteous teacher. I'm like, what did that mean? He's like, you was always teaching and ministering. And I said, in third grade? But, you know, one thing that I do understand is that God is ready to use each and one, every one of us.
Amen.
And I ain't going to be the one that, you know, I was telling my friend, I don't want to die in vain. I don't want to die and have people talking about I was the greatest guy that cooked the best and threw the best barbecue. He threw the best party, the best barbecue. He had nice cars. His wife was pretty too. You know, just crazy stuff. I want God to be proud.
Amen.
That the time I spent on this earth, even though it took me some years, but the time that I spent on this earth, I used it for the good of God.
Amen.
Not just for myself.
Hallelujah.
I could have been selfish, you know, and you know, I looked at it a lot of ways as I looked at the men in my family. That it wasn't just me. A lot of men in my family had assignments, and they ran too. And so I thank God also for just sparing me and waking me up. You know, a lot of them didn't get that opportunity to just wake up. Wake up! You know, they didn't have a man of God speaking into them, calling them elder every day. And they're like, I hear you, but what do you mean? You know, and then the most profound thing is a lot of what I've went through, he already been through. It's like I'm talking to myself, listening to myself in the mirror. So I know that, you know, I might have lost my biological father, but this man of God is my father. That, I mean, you talk about a man of God that don't judge you, allow you to say whatever you need to say, and then give you some nuggets, some knowledge. That's what we need more of. You know, we need more real men of God to lead our families, to, you know, oversee our children. Time is running out.
Yes.
Time is running out. I got a daughter here that just turned 19 today.
Amen.
I asked myself this morning when she was getting dressed, where did the time go? Time waits for no man. Oh, God. See, I typed all this up for God to have you to say what he needs you to say. Hey, he'll have you to say what he needs you to say. I'm telling you. Yes, Lord God. I'm going to skip a page because I got a feeling. I done talked about everything on this one. I got a feeling. You know, I just once again thank God for sending me mighty men of God. Men of God. He didn't send me just pastor. Soon after I started going to church faithfully, pastor invited me to a Wednesday morning prayer service, 4 a.m. every Wednesday. You know, when I first went, I'm going. This is my man. I'm going to support him. But God had something else in store. Amen. Once again, had nothing to do with support. I'm telling you, seven men of God praying from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. every Wednesday morning. And we would drive an hour. We go to Naperville. We go to Aurora. We go to We go to my house. Praise the Lord. That real man came in my house and prayed over my house. And it was like the Holy Spirit was just there when they walked out the door. Just, man, I mean, you know, it's like a gang of prayer warriors. You know, when I was growing up, it was the Vice Lords and Disciples. I ain't know nothing about no gang of prayer warriors. These men are faithful men of God, and I can't even convince myself now that I'm tired that time in the morning. I just can't wait to get there.
Amen.
You know how, you know, if you're not used to something, you know, you're dragging. Pastor was talking about a jump start. I don't need no jump start. I'm up at 3.
Amen.
I'm up at 2:30. I'm ready to go. What we going to talk about? What we going to pray on?
Amen.
Because we got men of God in that circle that have been healed from cancer.
Yes.
That have been on crack and God delivered them.
Amen.
That done all kind of crazy stuff. So I'm like, I'm not alone anymore. Everybody been through something.
Amen.
Ain't God good?
Amen.
When you know what? When you find out everybody been through something, you ain't ashamed no more. At least you shouldn't be.
Amen.
You know, you give that to God. God, fix this right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Fix me.
Yeah.
I told God, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I've been trying for 49 years. I don't. You take control of this because, Lord, I'm just a shell of a man, and I can't do this. And so the Lord does hear you if you're sincere and honest with him. You know, I don't. Hey, Lord, and you know, even in my fault, you know, the devil tried to play on me today. You know, what you doing up there? Ain't nobody all righteous but the man upstairs.
Amen.
You know, I mean, the devil will play on you. Man, all you going to do is this and that. And he had other people do that to you too.
Amen.
But I learned, don't let him stop my walk. I don't care what nobody say.
Yes. Yes.
Devil, you can't have me.
Amen.
You can't have me.
Amen.
You know, the truth will what? Make you free.
Hey.
You can't have me, Satan. You can't have my daughter, my son, my wife, my family. You can't have nobody. You can't have nobody. You know, I can't say enough about what the Lord has done for me. So even though he gave me an assignment, it's like, Lord, you know. You know what the Lord gave me why I was in business for 10 years over here? And I walked over there and shared it with the new owner. I'm obedient. Lord say, go share it with him. He don't know what he doing. I said, okay, Lord. So before service started, I went on and said, I'm preaching today. If you want to stop by. I said, do you know, see that register right there? I said, every time it went cha-ching, the Lord told me to tell every single person that gave me finances, have a blessed day. I said, do you know how many people I blessed with that in 10 years?
Amen.
I said, I blessed 100,000. Fold. And the Lord shared with me, I'm going to give it all back to you for being obedient.
Amen.
He said, I gave it to you. It was days that I didn't know how I was going to pay the rent, the electric, or the people, but no day went by that I couldn't do it at the end of that day.
Amen.
anything and everything I ask the Lord for being. Just that small seed, that small nugget. Just, Lord, you said tell people what? Tell them and their families have a blessed day and be blessed in all you do. And I did it. Every time I rang up somebody on that register, and if I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need like $1,000 a day because I'm 2,000 short, but I'll take a grand. Here's a 1,001, so I'll let you know it was me. I'm going to put that nugget on there, that extra dollar. And I said, Lord, you awesome. You know, God is great. Oh, Lord, thank you all. Thank you, Jesus. So today, the Lord gave me this word, and he wanted me to use some of my experiences, and, you know, because I think that my experience is everybody's experience. And if it's not everybody's experience, it's somebody's experience. You know, everybody been through something and everybody's going through something. But wherever you at, I think this word and this story that I'm going to tell, because it's word and story, is going to give you a little bit of help. And I've already talked a little bit about it. Father, I just ask you to guide my words. Touch those that this word was purposed for. I'm your servant here standing doing the will of God. And I just ask you, Father God, to bless the church in the name of Jesus Christ. I used a worldly statement to talk today. And I said, and the word is, why should we follow up daily? A lot of people hear that word, follow up. Follow up. When you at work, make sure you follow up, you know, and that word, it has some power attached to it. And I'm going to share with you my experience. Let us examine the word follow up in the worldly sense. You got a job, you got a boss. He assigned you a responsibility, right? He give you a deadline. You get the work done to the fullest of your ability. You done with the assignment. What do? You follow up. Boss, I'm done. I met the quota. I met the time frame. And the boss send you another email back and say, job well done. Right? Thank you. You're going to get paid. You get to keep your job. Right? So it's very important, what? To complete that job. Amen. And let your boss know you completed it in a, what? Timely manner. Come on now. This is worldly stuff. I'm just confused, though, because when the Lord gave me this, I said, the church don't get it then. One could say this behavior is driven by fear. What do we fear? Getting fired, not being able to provide for our family, coming home telling your wife, oh, I lost my job because I couldn't complete these assignments for this boss. I can't multitask like that. You know, lose my pension. This age, you lose your pension. It's like, what? The end of the world. You ain't trying to lose your pension. You will do whatever you need to do to complete that assignment. If it was between you and your pension. I don't care what, you going to walk on water to get that assignment done if you had to. That's just the way I see it. You know, when I would go through the workplace, people going crazy to make sure they pleasing man. Just going nuts. I said, you know what, Lord, this is out of order. Wow. So we work very hard at satisfying man. We work our holidays, on God's day, overtime, extra time. And we doing all of that stuff to please man. That level of fear causes a lot of people just to get things done that they would normally not do at all, that they would just totally procrastinate about for the rest of their lives. I don't think I'm alone here. Does it seem like we often put God's assignments last? And I ask God that, why do we put your assignments last? You should be first. Why do we put his word last? And that's what he dealt with me on. The word, the Bible. so much knowledge right here. So much power right here. So, how should we follow up with God to receive all of his promises? Avoid the trap of procrastination. And what motivates us to do this? What is our motive? I mean, you ain't going to get fired. You know, God give us free will. You do or you don't. But later on, you're going to pay a price.
Amen.
And I think that's no different than the person who go out and max out a credit card. Later on, you're going to pay a price. Maybe not today.
Amen.
And maybe that's why we're not so motivated to put the word of God first. Pastor spoke James 1 and 22. And that word in itself woke me up from procrastination. And that was, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Most people hear the word of God only in church. And then, you know, after they hear it, they gone for another 7 days. And I said, Lord, is that in order? Lord said, no, that's out of order too. He said, let me ask you a question, Archie. How many times did it take you to change a bad habit? I said, well, I got some that I've been trying thousands of times. So he said, do you really, really think if my shepherd gets up and preach a message that the church get that in their spirit and go and know how to apply that to their life and their daily walk right away? No, I can't possibly be alone.
Amen.
I can't possibly be alone. So he said, yeah, they hear the word, they ain't doing nothing. If they were doing it, then every Sunday it'll be 20 new saints coming into church getting saved, giving their life to Christ. He said, look outside. Look at the world. He said, what is it, Archie? I mean, ask yourself. Do a count. Do an inventory. How many people actually have been brought in the church and brought closer to God through just invitation? He said, the streets is a whole lot wiser than some of the people, and including myself. He said, you know, I used to pray for wisdom, and God gave me wisdom. But I told the Lord recently, if I don't use that wisdom for you, I don't need it. If it's just wisdom to be able to keep a job or, you know what I mean, put more money in the bank, that's not good enough for me anymore.
Praise God.
That's not good enough. You know, because the devil will make everything look good. He turned it all upside down and all around, and you thinking you doing good because you're making more money. Yeah, your wife is cooking good dinners and your house is clean, but your whole godly life is out of order. It ain't working. It ain't doing what it's supposed to do. It's like you go to the gas station and fill up your car with premium if you got a brand new Cadillac. But when you get that word, you go home and put that Bible on the desk and don't see it no more till the next week. And that's what I was doing. I don't know about anybody else. Or I pick it up when something go wrong in the house. Let me see how I can find a scripture, get my wife right. I got to find something, Lord. The Lord ain't going to give you no word on that because you out of order. Let me go and find a quick word. This woman is clowning me, you know. But you know what? That was my reality. You know, I picked this word up and 1998 was in the cover of it. I just sat there for about an hour shaking my head. Sort of like if I haven't seen my daughter till today, 19 years after she was born. Like, because the Lord is like, I don't know who you are just because you got this Bible don't mean nothing. You ain't studied it. You know? Woo, Lord. I tell you what. So, saints, I have experienced the result of putting God's assignments last, which led me to change my behaviors Get rid of that bad old habit of procrastinating when it comes to the word of God. I mean, that word. You know what I thought about? I said, if I could have just read James 1:22 1,000 times over the last 20 years, everything else would have followed. I ain't even had to read the whole Bible. Just meditate on that and apply it every day. I mean, that's powerful. So hearing the word opens up the doors of procrastination. Fear creeps in and holds up our blessings. You know, we don't see it because it's kind of invisible, you know. And there's nothing wrong with somebody else motivating you. Just know that you need to be motivated and tell somebody. Give me a wake-up call. You ain't going to lose your job if you know you a sleeper, heavy sleeper. You're going to call somebody in your family. If my alarm don't go off, I need some backup. I'm going to call Charles. Charles, just I know you up working out in the morning. Just wake me up. Just wake me up. You know, we need to do the same thing for God. We need to get him that first. Oh, God. Glory to God. Pastor been speaking on that, and I realized how hard it was to break old habits, especially when he was talking about positions. I said, well, procrastination had took a position in my spirit. We were really praying on men staying in position, you know, guarding their eyes, you know, because it's a lot out there, like Pastor said, that can derail you from your calling. But I thought about how procrastination was all up in my soul and my spirit. You know, and as many a days as I opened my eyes and the Lord told me, go read the word. I just lay there in the bed and then something will happen. And then I'd be like, I should have read that word, Lord. I should have read that word. You know, it's like God will give you a spanking. Pow! Because he wake you up and you wonder, why am I up this early? That's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's not your stomach all the time talking about you hungry. I'm hungry. That ain't all the time. Sometimes it's the Lord. You know? Oh, my God. Gotta use some heavenly wisdoms. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. I said, diligent made fat. He ain't talking about a fat stomach. He talking about all your needs will be fulfilled if you seek him diligently. Saints, the Bible alone, and this is, I mean, today, it's all about this book right here. The Bible alone truly answers the greatest questions that all men of all ages have ever asked. Let me tell you about a couple of them questions. Where have I come from? The Bible answers that. Where am I going? The Bible answers that. Why am I here? The Bible answers that. How can I know the truth? The Bible answers that. The Bible reveals the truth about God. It explains the origin of man, points out the only way to salvation and eternal life, explains the age-old problem of sin and suffering. I think that's everything I need to know. Amen. It's like if I took that class in college, that probably should have been number one college Amen. Class that I took. Because to me, that means that I get to live life more abundantly. Yes. They don't teach you that in college.
Amen.
They teach you that a degree is supposed to make you live life more abundantly. They need to change that.
Amen.
The word of God
Amen.
Shows you how to live life more abundantly.
Amen.
Not no college degree. Not no fat bank account. Not no Cadillac.
Amen.
Not no man. Not no woman. The word of God.
Yes.
That's truth, right, Pastor?
Amen.
Ain't that what you say?
That's truth.
Here are seven great things that the Bible will do for us. The Bible discovers sin and convicts us. The Bible helps cleanse us from the pollution of sin. You know, that's a pollution that comes with sin. You don't see it, but that's why we sinning. You don't see the pollution out there, but I bet you if you walk out there and you got bronchitis or something, you're going to know it, right? The Bible imparts strength in us. Lord knows we all need strength. You can't do this by yourself. A lot of people think they can. They think muscles are strength. That's not strength. Strength is the word of God. The Bible instructs us in what we are to do. We lost. We really don't know what to do without the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible provides us with a sword for victory over sin. The pastor was talking about that sword. You know, when you got bad habits and you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you know if you got any kind of common sense, you know that you can't do that by yourself. So through your prayer, through your fasting, God will put that sword in you. Whew. How do you get rid of sin? How do you get rid of the devil? Pastor just was talking about this. I mean, you ain't going to be like, devil, just leave me alone. You think he going to go away? He going to come harder, actually.
Amen.
Laughing at you. Oh, you think you can beat alcoholism? I'm going to put you around a group of real alcoholics. They gonna drink every day. You was drinking twice a week. Now, I'm gonna put you around some folks that drink every day. That's how the devil do. But you gotta know that and know that you gotta lean on God for that to be delivered. The Bible makes our lives fruitful. I like that part. That's sort of like, for me, fruitful. You know, And I thought about that word, fruitful. What is fruitful? For me, fruitful is watching my family grow older
Amen.
And watching my family grow wiser.
Yes.
Having my family here today, it ain't about a big bank account. Amen. Knowing that these folks also serve the Lord.
Amen.
Not only that, to even have your family come and hear you minister the word of God. I don't know what today is for me. If it's got to be like right next to being born. When you can just minister God's word and have friends and family. I thought about it. I told Pastor, I said, I feel like I'm about to get married again. I said, I was nervous this morning, couldn't sleep. And the devil kept putting this burglar in my dreams. You know what I come to find when I prayed on that this morning? God was showing me that the devil been stealing all my dreams. My real dreams. My fruitful dreams. Because I have not been faithful. I have not been in that word. He pointed it out. He keep going over and over again. He said, it's really simple. He said, but don't fret. You're not the only one with that problem. He said, you're not alone. He said, you're truthful, though, enough to know. And then number seven is the Bible gives us power to pray. Now, to me, that's important. And it's very important because, again, if I go back to when I was a kid and I go to church because mama wanted me to go, I was hooking up to other people's prayers. What I mean by that is I'd hear somebody pray and I'd try to duplicate it. I wasn't getting it from the word. I was getting it from other people. And guess what? Everybody don't pray the right prayers. You know? But that's just what I did because I was just, I'm going to church. Mama want me in church. Grandmama want me in church. And I'm like, okay, how does prayer thing work? Now, even in that, you know, God will still bless you because I didn't know I was doing wrong. But the beginning of my walk with God should have started with page one of this.
Amen.
You know, never, and I thought about this. I had never read the introduction to my Bible. It's some powerful stuff. It even shows you how to study the word. But nobody took me to page one. So I was like, I'm just trying to get in where I fit in, you know. But when you can start off with direction, God gonna speed that thing up so fast for you. You're like, this is what that meant. Oh, my God, it took me this long when I could have got this in an hour had I started out right.
Amen.
God is good, though.
Yes,
he is so good because his grace, his mercy, he'll always deliver you when you know who's on top. Second Timothy in 3 and 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's powerful. And 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That inspired me. Because you still got people around here talking about who wrote the Bible. They're not going to address Jesus Christ. They're not going to address God. They're more concerned about things that the world has put in their mind. You reading that white man's word? I done heard it all.
Amen.
I really have. But the Lord told me, you know what? Still, plant that seed. Watch. Watch what I do for him. And I tell him, I said, look, man, don't wait till you on your deathbed to call me to pray for you.
Amen.
When you had this opportunity.
Amen.
Get that nonsense out of your head.
Amen.
You think you here? I mean, I done heard people say we here because physics of the planets. And I've heard men my age debate over this stuff. And I just walk away. Lord, How does Satan get convince somebody of this foolishness? That's because he turned everything upside down.
Yes, he does.
But what the Lord showed me is most of them men are very articulate. They do a lot of great things. So he said, it's time for us to turn them around, head them in the right direction.
Amen.
My word never comes back void.
Yeah.
And so even though I know I'm going to go through some things, speaking about Jesus, I said, I could not possibly go through what he went through.
Amen. Come on now.
So if it's all about me speaking, not being ashamed, opening this word up, getting direction from God for my daily walk. I told Jesus, I got you on that one. As long as I allow you to guide me. It ain't about me. Just order my steps. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So you running your mouth talking about the Bible ain't real and all that, That's just ungodly. And I asked the Lord this last year in 2017, you know, why so many people fighting? Why so many people fighting against God, you know? They ain't fighting with man on their job like that. But, you know, we are truly walking and living in the end days. Amen. You know, the sin, the government shut down. Just as I look around, it's just nothing that seems seemingly going right. But you know what? I'm just so thankful that in Jesus Christ, we're going to be saved. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And we ain't part of that mess that's going on. You know, because when man get through messing this up, he going to have to answer to God at some point. He's going to have to answer to him. So I'm just thankful that God got my attention. Truly, I think that each and every day we should begin and end our day with the word of God. I know that most people work 10 hours a day, 8 hours a day. They travel. But now we got tablets, telephones, and everything. So we got voice command. We can put on a ministry while we're driving home. We don't have no excuses. We got to start giving God and his word the same amount of time, if not more, than we giving man. Because if you think you already blessed, you start doing that, he going to show you a whole nother level of blessings. I know this. You know, without a doubt, it's the season for us to follow up with God by being more obedient and reading his word. And then, you know what? If you don't understand something, I truly believe that you should have every church member's number in your church, every family member that's attending the church, and y'all talk about it. You don't have to wait to Bible study or next Sunday, because we don't want to hold up the man of God from moving forward either in the word of God and what God has. But since we know and understand that it takes a whole lot of times for you to create that new habit, or even rememberize how to apply something, some scriptures to your life. But I believe God is saying that's what you're supposed to do on your own time. Yeah. Don't put all that on the man of God. That's too much. He should be able to move forward in ministry. But when you go home from church, you sit down, wife, husband, so what do you think about that scripture? How can we apply this? How can we make this work for us? Because if God put it in that man of God to give to us, it's got to be something that we need in our lives. Right? He didn't just give them some mess, make you happy for an hour. No. You go home. It's like studying for the test. You know, the teacher, what do you do in school? Once again, the teacher go through the stuff. You go home. It's your responsibility to study for the test. Teacher ain't going to study for the test for you. You're going to flunk if that's what you think. You know, I mean, it's evident in our lives, you know. And so I thank God for forgiving me. You know, for making up a bunch of excuses. Oh, God. Pages of excuses. Ain't no excuse. It's inexcusable to not begin and end your day with the word of God. That's the only way we're going to make it through this journey. And if you don't understand it or see the truth in it, call somebody who may be able to articulate what that means to you and your family. Because everything I read this week, it was all truth. Everything in this word is truth. Amen. But we got to use the tool the way it's supposed to be used. You know, when I was a kid, I worked on car engines. And if I didn't have the right tools, I wasn't going to make it work. If you don't use this tool, it ain't going to work. Oh, Lord God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. So I guess I got it. Be a good reader of the word so that you can be a good doer of the word. No more procrastination. The word is your spiritual food. Eat it daily. Wake up in the morning and eat it. Go to bed and eat it. So you got to wake up. Most people wake up for breakfast. They eat lunch and dinner. Great time to pull out the word. While you fill in your stomach, feel your spirit. That way you won't miss it. God bless you all. I'm so, today, just so happy. And, you know, carry this word with you. But do more than carry it. Use it.